I don't want to scare you a whole lot this morning, but I wrote stuff down because I didn't want to forget. I'm going to try to get this done as quick as possible. They told me I had 3 minutes or less. I got the microphone. So happy Father's Day to everybody, and welcome to Eagles Way, and we're glad you're here. I wanted to share a couple of things about Father's Day for me, and the first one is that there's actually three men in my life that I consider my father that I want to talk about this morning. But before I do, I want to acknowledge our pastor, Buren Goss, today as father. Now, don't get nervous, Buren. He's not old enough to be my father, okay? But Buren, I was thinking about it this morning when I was writing this stuff down, and Buren is the father of this house, and we need to honor him. So if you will, I want to round of applause for Buren and what he does for us as minister and father to this house. And we thank you for what you pour into us every week, Buren, and for your leadership, everything that you do. Thank you. My dad died when I was 18, but I learned a lot of lessons from him. He taught me how to hunt and fish. He taught me how to do the right thing. He taught me how to get a job and be a good employee, to provide for my family, to have fun, and to laugh. He taught me to be disciplined. With his military background, believe me, he taught us to be disciplined. And he taught us how to use our voice with authority. Most of you have never heard my authority voice, but I got one. The most important thing he taught me, though, was to respect people. That was part of the military code. Give people respect. Respect them. And I appreciate that. Ed Sisson was my father-in-law for 20 years. He was a pastor of Crestview Baptist Church up on the North Expressway, and he was a good man, really good man. And he taught me family values and lessons in faith, and I appreciate him. He's gone on to be with the Lord, but he was a good man, and I was honored to have him as my father-in-law. Most of you know my father-in-law, who will be here shortly. He's not here right now, but he's coming, Billy Woodward. Papa, as we call him, he's my dad now. He's it, and I'm so thankful for him. He's taught me how to value what I have, to learn to fix things, and the many uses of duct tape. The value of money and how to manage it, to give freely and to be true, to laugh and to serve, and I'm thankful to have him in my life. The point for today is to know who you are and how God places people in your life to model things in front of you. I'm very thankful for the men who modeled in front of me fatherhood. We honor them today. So let's worship now and worship our Father. Good morning.
Alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope with no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested, my life began. Ash was redeemed, only beauty remained. My orphan heart was given a name. My morning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested, my life began. Oh, your grace, so free, washes over. Chains, I'm a prisoner no more. But my shame was ransomed, he faithfully bore. He canceled my debt and he called me his friend. my Savior displayed on a criminal's cross. Darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost. But then Jesus rose with our freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested, my life began. Oh, your grace is so free, washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins within you. It's your today's Father's Day, and I'm a father, and Dad just listed some names that, you know, were right there with me, but he forgot him, because he's my dad. And what I just want to say about today and your fathers and how thankful I am for who I have, no matter if it's your father or if it's just, you know, some mentor, if you lost your father a while back, I always go to my dad. And he'll tell you all the time when I have something I need to talk to him about. And a lot of times I know the answer, but I just go to him for those things. I hope that my children do the same for me. But you know, we have a Heavenly Father who we can go to anytime to. You know, I'll be riding in my truck sometimes and going to Delta. I have a lot of time just to think. And I'll just start thanking God for what he's given me. Just for the day, for the breath that I breathe, for the dad he gave me, for the granddads he gave me, for my wife, for my children. And it could just go on and on and on and on. So today, while it is Father's Day, and I am so, so thankful for my father and grandfathers, I'm also thankful for a Heavenly Father who loves me, cares for me, is with me all the time. No matter when I'm down, if something's going wrong, he's there. When things are right, he's there. He's with me, in me, all the time. And I'm so thankful for that. And this song here, Oh Come to the Altar, is just a song of thanksgiving and knowing that you can go to the altar any time, any place. There he is. Aren't you glad of that this morning?
You So special, and out of everything we just proclaimed, the line "trade your sorrows for joy" has just gripped my heart this morning. This has been a heck of a year, a heck of a month, a heck of a week. Some folks have taken some huge hits in life, and if you have it personally, chances are you know someone who has. And all my soul is crying this morning, and what it's holding on to is, do not grow weary. Do not grow weary in doing well. Do not grow weary in standing firm in your faith. Do not grow weary in replacing any thought that might lead you down a really dark path. Do not grow weary in setting your mind on things that are above. Do not grow weary in dwelling in what is lovely and pure and true, because His strength is made perfect in our weakness every single time. And you are healed. And as we sit in that place today of being healed, all we can say is, I still praise you. I still praise you. When it's ugly, when it's beautiful, I still praise you, because you hold me. You minister your healing to me in every moment. You minister your wholeness to me in every moment. And if you know that and you can hold on to that, then this song makes a lot of sense. So wherever you are today, if you can just push out whatever is in your mind that may have been keeping you from seeing that beauty and that truth, and just say, I praise you. Father, thank you. You are in control of everything. Everything that happens to us, the sole purpose is to bring us closer to you. You draw us into you constantly. And we praise you for that. It is a treasure.
Take Ocean tears. grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fail and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. And we do that because that fig tree is going to bud. We do it because you're going to see grapes on the vines. We do it because your fields are going to produce food. There's going to be sheep in the pen. There's going to be cattle in the stalls. Because on the other side of your pain is victory. On the other side of this moment is a new revelation of who He is and who you are. On the other side of this moment is your destiny. On the other side of this moment is your destiny. On the other side of this moment is your miracle. And Lauren said, don't grow weary in replacing the thoughts. Don't grow weary in doing what you know to do, what we've learned to do. And we're kind of learning to do it well. And the more you do it and the more we praise, there were two men locked in a prison who really, I don't even know that they were thinking about their way out. They just in the moment decided, you know what, I'm going to praise. And I'm going to worship, because not only did they know that there was something on the other side, they also knew that God was present within them. That there was, this next song says, there are no miles so wide. There's nothing so far. Nothing can separate you from Him. Nothing can separate you from His love, from His goodness, from His purpose, from His call, from His divine will. His divine purpose and call will see its way through. Hope always comes again. Grace always comes again. His goodness always comes again. Everything you need is there and always, always comes again. It doesn't stop coming. It never stops reaching. There is goodness in today, and there is great hope and amazement in tomorrow.
You're like starlight in the dark. Endless miles can conceal you. Every glimmer is a spark, catching fire as you break through. You're not far away, you come in close. Coming close. bright starlight in the night. Endless smiles can conceal you, and every glimmer is a spark catching fire as you break through.
There for you. There again. Amen. Within your bulletins was your connection card. I want to encourage you to get that and fill that out. Sign up for whatever you need to sign up for. Prayer requests on the back. And if you're visiting with us for the first time or have not yet received your letter from Pastor Buren that is inside one of these, they're on the information booth out front. So we encourage you to grab one of those as you're leaving today. Pastor, are you coming?
Yeah. A little sidetracked there. Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Father's Day. It's a good day to be anywhere, isn't it?
Yes.
I would want to, first of all, and I don't know where I'm going this morning with this. I forgot. I didn't give you any scriptures. Like, all my notes were just, I didn't even get with you, and I thought about it halfway through the song service, and I went, I may need to go another direction. I don't know. So we'll just find our way here in a moment. But as you, a lot of you on social network realize that we picked, you know, several fathers that were highlighted this week, and one each day starting about Wednesday, and we kind of collaborate on that. That's mainly Dusty's thing. But we'll collaborate on maybe who to honor. But I just want to say, there's not a father here that doesn't need to be honored. That I am so blessed. We are so blessed with a church that is just filled with tremendous fathers. I said several weeks ago when I started this series on fatherhood that I, when I first started in the ministry, over half our congregation, way over half our congregation was just women, and the husbands and fathers didn't come. And now I look around and see it's just the opposite now, that we have just bukus of fathers and raising their children and doing what they ought to do in the right way. So my father's been gone for, I think this December is 21 years, and I still miss him today as much as I missed him the day, the first week. And as not a day goes by, I don't think about him and how much he imparted to me. I always like to give you some of Daddy's quotes that he was famous for. Probably one of my most memorable one is, nothing good ever happens after midnight. Wherever you're going to be where you're going to be. He'd tell me when I leave the house, if you're not going to make it back here, be somewhere in a safe place by midnight, because nothing good ever happens after midnight. Another one of his famous statements were, it's better that people think you're a fool than open your mouth and remove all doubt. That was always a good one. Another one was when we built a swimming pool and Barbara and I first got married and got our first home. Daddy was a very frugal man, to say the least. Before he was 50 years old, he was debt-free, never owed anybody a penny. And he couldn't stand debt. And so he came to me after, he didn't say anything during the building of the swimming pool. But after it was all over, I had the family over and going to celebrate the pool, cook out, and just have a big family thing and swim with my nephews and have fun. Daddy came over, and after a little bit, he looked at me and says, well, see, you're enjoying your pool. I said, yeah, I knew something was coming. He said, well, when you get ready to go get groceries, I want to see you get in it and drive to town and get you some groceries because you need a car. So he was always pouring out these special little things. Another one he said one time preaching, he said, and he had some old cornbread theology, but he was preaching one time and he said, now, if anybody left your keys in your automobile, you need to go out and get them. because we got some thieves here that don't tithe. And if they'll steal from God, they'll steal your automobile. So you probably going to need to check your car. I don't know how you got bypassed in all those years with those little statements he would have. But he was a great daddy. He was a great father and meant so much, so much. For the last 21 years, I've had the privilege to have a father that has mentored me and helped me, and that's Billy Woodward. And I've looked at him as my father since my father passed away, and he's given me good advice, and I needed to make a decision. I bounced it off him, especially a big decision. I just thank you, Billy, for being there for me and Susan. Billy and Susan has really been Barbara's father and mother for the last 100 years. Barbara's mother passed when she was 18, and her father passed when she was in her early 20s, and Billy and Susan came into the church not long after that, and you were a tremendous blessing. I remember that we had to pay for Barbara's daddy's funeral, and you came into my office one day and overheard a conversation I was having with somebody, and I was trying to gather the money, and you looked at me and you said, "Nobody needs to have to pay for their father's funeral," said, "I will take care of that." And you got people together and said, "We need to do this." And thank you for even way back then being what you were. Ron, I want to honor you today. A lot of people don't know, but you've really honored your father and your mother all the days of your life. And the Bible says if you do that, it'll go well with you. And I know your father is a gay, has a husband or whatever, but you've never condemned that. You've honored him all this time, and that's awesome. That you're a good image and witness of someone who has loved their father when some people wouldn't agree with their lifestyle. You've honored him and loved him, and I thank you for being a good son, a good man, and want to honor somebody very special to me. And Chris, 14 years ago, in July sometime, I went to the airport and met you and took my daughter and our 10-month-old son, John Henry, loaded him up on a King airplane, them up. And we were able to do that with faith, able to do that knowing that they were going to be taken care of. And I never, if you're here, there's one term you'll never hear us use, never comes from me without having to explain it, but we don't believe in the term stepfather. I don't believe in the term stepdad. If you're raising a kid, you're a father, and you've been a father to John Henry as much as you have to the other two. You loved him just like you loved Anna and Jet. And thank you for being the father and the husband, son-in-law you are. I don't even call you an in-law. I call you a son. And love you dearly, and thank you. And this is just a token of our appreciation. We give these away every so often. I didn't know that Jim was going to bring one in this morning. He said, "I just want to give you this staff." I said, "You want me to give it away this morning?" He said, "Sure, give it away." So thank you. At Dusty's wedding, I remember toasting Chris, and the scripture that came to me was Jesus stood up in the temple one day, and he said, "I've come to heal the brokenhearted, open the sight to the blind, come to do all these wonderful things." He says, "This day this scripture is fulfilled in your eyes and ears." And that was a toast I gave you. You healed my daughter's heart. That, you know, people say, "Well, God healed me." Yeah, God will heal you, but I guarantee you, God's going to heal you through somebody. It's not like he'll just come down and put it together. Somebody is going to be an instrument in the healing of your life. Always know that we are instruments of healing to people. We're instruments of healing. Our words, our concerns, our cares, our love for people, that's what heals people's hearts. Our words either break or our words heal. Our words either comfort or our words cause discomfort. But our life is a constant healing. Several weeks ago, we talked about Jacob, Cain, when the Lord spoke to Cain and said, sin's lying at your door. It's crouching at your door. It wants to master you, but you must master it. And I related it to a scripture in Revelation. It says, Jesus is standing at the door. So there's always two things at your door. There's someone crouching at the door. There's some attitude crouching at the door. And if it's crouching, if it's deceptive, you know it's not good. Jesus stands at the door in clear sight. And he says, and I knock at the door, and any man will open up. I'll come in and fellowship with him, and he'll fellowship with me. And in that context of scripture in Revelation chapter 3, he's talking to the church of Laodicea. And he said, I wish that you were either cold or hot, but because you're neither, I'll have to spew you out of my mouth. And what he was saying was there was two cities close by. There was one called Colossae, and it was noted for its cold waters that came down from the mountains. And he said, I wish you was at least a cold, refreshing drink to somebody. And there was another city called Hierapolis, and Hierapolis had healing waters. There were hot springs. He says, I wish you were one or the other, a good, fresh, cold drink or good, healing, warm waters. And that's what God wants out of all of us, that we be one or the other at all times. Now, the Bible says if you just give a cup of water to a prophet, you'll receive a prophet's reward just for giving somebody a cold water. And that's where we've all called. Every single day of our life, we're called to bring healing, to bring comfort. And, I talked about the other week, and I mentioned I had my own definition of tough love. And I told you then that I'm going to give you my definition of tough love. I know what the definition that the world gives you of tough love that I disagree with. And I said, and you have the right to disagree with me on this one. And if you want to be wrong, you can. You have the right to be wrong. But I had one person this week. I said, y'all, I guess you didn't believe my definition of tough love. They said, not yet. So I said, well, my definition of tough love is the cross. My definition of tough love is you sacrifice for people. You sacrifice for your family. You give of yourself. You go the extra mile. You do anything and everything. To me, that's tough love. Tough love is I won't do it my way. I'll give in to your way. I'll honor you by letting you have your way. I believe that's tough love. I believe that we need to want to be respected by the people who know us most, the best. Who knows us the best should respect us the most. Blake, I like how you have fought for your son. And I just bless you in the weeks and the days to come that things are going to work out for you and all is going to be well. And that what should happen. And you just show your great love that you have. And whatever happens, God will honor you for being that compassionate and that passionate about what you want to do. Robert, I haven't known you long, but I know, you've got a young one coming here, but you also are raising her son, and I've just followed you on social network and seen your love for him, and you're just going to be an awesome father. You already are one, and so God bless you both as this all comes about. It's just something special when you come in and take responsibility. Leif, you entered into a relationship with two children that you have honored and embraced, and God bless you for also being a father in more than one way, because there's a natural father and then there's a father, a spiritual father, and you've done that, and thank you for what you've done. Will Doss, I guess not enough I could say about you. You just got your daddy's cloak all over you and loving your children and raising your children and being there for them, and you and Dusty would hand in hand on my tough love thing, because you might see tough love a little different than that, because I've seen your tough love come, and you have that way of being the disciplinarian that you are, but in a loving way. And I just God bless you for being a blessing to not only them but also to so many people here. And Will has mentored a lot of young men come to him for that. David, I was thinking in praise and worship and how much of a great father you are. And I remember y'all going over Japan, right? Not China. China. I get them two mixed up because I kept saying that John Henry's in Japan, and they finally told me 2 weeks later, he's actually in China, Bjorn. If you want to go see him, don't go to the wrong country. I get them too. But you went over and you adopted a little girl, and what great love you've shown. You love her just like you love your other two, and y'all just been such a such an example of how you can just love is everything. And just thank you for being here. Michael, I've watched you, dude. You just love those kids. And you've gone through some situations with it, but you've hung in there. And you've taken a blended family, and you just have making the best of it. And thank you for being that. You know, there's a scripture in Malachi that said, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, he's going to send a prophet, and his name was going to be Elijah. And a man was going to come in the spirit of Elijah, and he's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. And then Matthew, he gives a genealogy of Jesus. Mark, he goes right into John the Baptist and water baptism. But Luke spends time talking about this person who came in the spirit of Elijah. And he says that Zechariah was in the temple praying. And when he didn't, an angel came to him and said, you're going to have a son and you're going to name him John. And he said, "How? I can't have a son. I can't." But anyway, let me back up. And he said, you're going to have a son. And he's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. Now, the spirit of Elijah is something pretty unique. Because if you go and you read about Elijah, you find a guy that was pretty hot-headed. I mean, Elijah was a pretty hot-headed. He was a prophet who sat on a hill one day, and they came, sent 50 men to him and said they came to really question him being a prophet and question the prophecy he had made, and he just called down fire from heaven and burned up all 50. He did that 3 times. I mean, he's a pretty hot-headed prophet. I'm saying all that for a reason, to get to a thing that really men deal with more than anybody else. And the thing we have to watch out for is a thing called anger. All right? Really. I mean, most people who have anger problems are not women. They're mostly men. And I think one of the reasons is there's a stressful part of our life that we carry. That, not saying women are never stressful. Let me preach to fathers, okay? Y'all be cool and calm. I get you back on next Mother's Day. We'll get you and we'll build you up. But we battle this thing. And Elijah had this thing that he struggled with. And one day he's all depressed and he's complaining to God. And he says, I'm the only prophet left. All the other prophets are dead. They killed them all. And he's all upset. Matter of fact, he's so upset, he said, I just wish I could die. I just wish you'd kill me right now. And we're talking about prophets of God. And I'm saying all this because, you know, sometimes we think because we make a mistake or we don't live up to what we ought to, we let those things get us down so much. You know what? God was loving on Elijah. And he was bringing him through that thing. And so God comes to Elijah and says, Elijah, it's not quite that way. And then the Bible says there was this great wind that started blowing. And after the wind, there came this lightning and fire. And there came all of this stuff. And he says, and God was not in any of that. But then he said he came in a gentle, soft whisper. And when Elijah had to stop and pause and listen, not to all the emotional things going around him, not to all the loud things going around. He had to focus and center in and listen to a gentle, small voice. Because what I have found out is that's the way God speaks even today. It's not in the loudness. It's not in all the emotions of it. It's in a still, small voice. And several weeks ago, I was not a bad thing, not I wasn't way, way overboard, but I was having a little anger issue. Okay? I was having a little anger issue. And I wasn't screaming at my wife or beating her or anything like that, because I wouldn't be here today if I did that. I'd be more beat up than she would be beat up. But that wasn't it. I was just edgy. I don't know, men, have you ever been edgy? You ever been a little edgy? Come home from work and you're just a little edgy? I see some eyes rolling on to other people. I won't go over there. But your husband ever come home and he's just a little edgy, you know? Well, every now and then that happens, and I got a little edgy. And matter of fact, Barbara said, Dusty said, you're an angry elf. that's their sweet way of telling me. And I didn't pay much attention to it. And then the next day, I heard this gentle whisper. You are a little angry. And I was angry. I was looking at some circumstances in my life, and I was a little angry. I might have been even angry at God. I don't know. But there was just this little edginess about me that's just not normal. And I heard that still small voice in me say, you have been a little angry. Nip it now. Nip it now. And so I got on the phone and I called Dusty and apologized to her and I said, I'm sorry. You guys are right. I've been a little edgy. And I want you to forgive me for being a little edgy. The greatest thing a father can do, the greatest example you can be to your children is to love their mama. If you love their mother, that's the greatest thing you can do for your children is to love their mother. It's two things, husband and wives. This is not a husband and wife seminar, but we'll have a quick one. You want a quick husband and wife seminar? All right, I'll give it to you. There's only two things you need to know. Two things. Is that simple enough? Two things you need to know. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. It's all you need to know. You do that, you got it made. You do that, all is well. You will have a wonderful, wonderful life if you will love your wife as Christ loved the church. That's tough love, sacrificial love. It's love that go to the cross for you. Wives, want to have a wonderful marriage? Respect your husbands. That's it. Do those. That's all you got to do is respect your husband. All you got to do is love your wife as Christ loved the church. And things will be wonderful. Ephesians chapter 5, in case somebody wonders if that's in the Bible. Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And wives, respect your husbands. Well, he's got to earn your respect. He's got to earn my respect. No, you've got to give respect. Bible didn't say anything. The Bible says I am to honor. Can I preach for a minute? Man, this country is sick. This country is sick, sick, sick. We've lost honor. We've lost respect. We've lost the things that are so critical and crucial to humanity is that we respect one another, that we honor one another. James said, you can't speak one way about God. You can't bless God and curse men who are made in the similitude and the likeness and the image of God. You can't do both. Now, I ain't through. You cannot bless God and criticize people and condemn people and tear them down. You can't bless the one who created every human being on the face of the earth, and you can't criticize and tear them down and bless God at the same time. You can, but that what's happening is there's bitter water and there's sweet water coming out of the same vessel, and that's not the way it's supposed to be. My Bible says, honor those who are in government, respect them, pray for them. It doesn't say tear them down. Done for that part. The Bible says, honor your mother and the father all the days of your life. And if you do, it will go well with you. Notice this, and you will live a long life. You know what? When I read that this week and I thought about it, I don't want a long life without good relationships. Who, you know, people don't really want to, There are people who are not happy, who are just be ready to go on because their relationships are so torn. Who would want a long life without healthy, good relationships? And I believe that's part of what that's really saying. If you, good relationships make you, number one, want to have a long life. Makes you want to live a long time because of the healthy relationships that you have. It says, and fathers, don't exasperate your children. Don't put more on them than they can bear. They are children. He says, the Bible says, raise them up in the way they should go. Let me tell you what that means biblically. Not the way that you think they should go. The way they should go. You see things in their life that's different than another one. You need to raise that child in the way they should go. And the way they should go is not maybe the way that the other one's going to go. They may go that way, they may go that way, and they may go that way. But you look for the critical things in their life, the characteristics in their life that will lead them to where they should go. My father raised me in the way I should go. He never tried to put it on me. Matter of fact, the only time my father ever said I was called into the ministry was when I told him I was. When I told my father I was called into the ministry, he said, I know that. I've known that all your life. And he just kind of steered me that way all the time. He never said, you're gonna follow me, you're going to take over the church. He never told me that one time. One reason, I think he probably doubted it at one time. And probably thought that really, I don't really see how that could possibly happen. But he steered me. He raised me the right way. There's nothing greater than raising children and pushing them in the right way. Back to the anger thing. Jacob was going to bless two of his sons. He blessed them at one time. I don't know why this happened, but he blessed Reuben. We talked about him last week. Then he blessed Simeon and Levi. Blessed them at the same time. Now, the blessing, he's trying to pass on, but what he's doing, even though when he says, Reuben, you're unstable as water, his blessing to him was, deal with that. Don't be unstable as water. That's the opposite of it. And Simeon and Levi, he said, you are sons of cruelty. You'll kill men and you lame oxen. I will not come into your council. I won't listen to what you have to say. But it goes on, Simeon never overcame. Now, their anger, they were taking up for their daughter, for their sister. And they killed a man. And then they, I don't blame the oxen, they just had this anger issue. Simeon never overcame his. Never did. Levi did. Levi overcame his, and guess what happened to the tribe of Levi? The priesthood came out of it because Levi overcame it because Moses came down from the mountain and they had built a golden calf, and he says, everybody who's on God's side, come over here, and the whole tribe of Levi went on God's side. They became the priesthood of the Old Testament. He overcame it. Simeon never did. But there was a Simeon in the New Testament who overcame his anger. His name was Peter, Simon Peter. If you really follow, you're going to see Peter had a little issue. Peter was zigging when he ought to have been zagging. He would flare up all of a sudden. You know anybody like that? They just flare up all of a sudden. Peter was like that. He flare up all of a sudden. Well, I'm going to be crucified. No, you're not going to be crucified. He'd flare up. I'll never deny you. Denied him three times and cursing. Denying him. When they come to get Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he pulls out a sword and cuts a man's ear off. Now, that's a little anger issue. I don't know if you think so, but I think that's a little, would you call that a little anger issue? You pull out a sword and cut a, and he wasn't aiming for his ear. He wasn't that precise. He was a fisherman. He was trying to cut his head off, Joe. He wasn't trying to cut his ear off. He was a fisherman. He wasn't a swordsman, but he cut his ear off. Jesus reached down, picks it up, puts it on him, heals him. He says, man shall not live. If you live by the sword, you die by the sword. Well, that's preaching right there. If you live by it, you die by it. You live by your anger, you die by your anger. But somewhere along the way, Peter dealt with his issue. Peter dealt with his anger. And Peter became, this Simeon became a rock. This reed shaken in the wind became a solid rock because he followed Christ all the days of his life. And when it comes to the end of his life, he said, don't crucify me right side up. I'm not worthy. Crucify me upside down. And they said, as a martyr, they crucified him upside down because he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord. These are little issues that you just have to watch out for. And what I've really done this morning, I just want to share from my heart with you about what I think about fatherhood. I think it's the most wonderful thing you could do. My greatest privilege in life is to be a father and a grandfather. And, you know, I made a statement. What's so funny? It ain't funny, but it is funny. I made a statement at the beginning of this series. I was going to be a better father, a better spiritual father. And, man, since I made that statement, I've been bombarded. I heard people talk about that. I don't even like to give testimony to anything like that, but I'll be honest with you. Ever since I made that statement, I turn around the corner. Bam, where'd that come from? Bam, where'd that come from? So now that I know it, now I can do something about it, right? Yeah. Just don't hold me accountable to that. I have God to hold me accountable to that. Holy Ghost hold me accountable to that. So all is well. I want you to stand. You know, it's not the big things. I've said this so many times, but it's so true. It's not the big things that get us. It's the little ones. Big stuff, everybody overcomes the big stuff. Really do. I've been pastoring for 40-something years now. People who go through big marital problems, I'm talking about bad stuff, make it. It's not those things that get them. It's the little things. It's the little things. The little foxes that spoil the vine. It's not the big stuff. You'll overcome that. You'll overcome that. But the little things that just day after day after day that gnaws at you and gnaws at you and gnaws at you, that'll get you. It'll just eat away the relationship little by little. If it's anything that deception does, it does that. It just, you don't think that's a big deal, but it's gnawing at you. It's eating at you. And so, men, I want to speak to you from my heart right now. If you feel that little thing that's just kind of gnawing at you, that's crouching at the door. It's that thing that's just nipping at your ankles all the time. Jesus is standing face to face saying, you know, we'll handle this thing and deal with this thing in a good way. Don't let this thing keep gnawing at you, because if it keeps gnawing at you, it'll eventually get you. It'll eventually consume you. It'll eventually devour you. What you need to do today, if there's that little thing, don't you just bow your heads and just ask the Lord. You know, you ask God to speak to you in that small whisper, soft whisper, he'll speak. There's something that's just a little gnawing. It's not a big thing. It's just a little gnawing. And you say, you know what? I want to deal with that today. I want to ask you to do something. Big thing for you to do. I want you to ask you to step out and come down and stand across this front. I just want to pray over you. I want to bless you. I want to encourage you. And it may not be known, just any for anything, men, fathers, you just want prayer for, just come and stand here. Let's pray together. Let's just see God do what God does. Holy Spirit, do what Holy Spirit does. Because he loves us. He cares more. more than we could even begin to imagine. Number one thing that will get you more than anything else is guilt and condemnation. Not anything will get you more quickly than guilt and condemnation. So the first thing you have to deal with this morning, you have to realize if something's gnawing at you, something's bothering you, it's under the blood. So let's take the guilt and condemnation of it and let's squelch it right now. Let's say, that's not going to have dominion over me. I'm not going to let that thing crouching at my door give me guilt and condemnation, because you can't get healed out of guilt. You understand? You can't get healed out of guilt and condemnation. It will not heal you. It will only condemn you. But what will heal you is forgiveness, mercy, God's love reaching out to you. That will heal you. You know, the moment I said that morning in the car, God, forgive me. This thing's gnawing at me, and I've let it take over a little too much. I'm going to nip it now. I wasn't guilty or condemned about it, because I know the forgiveness of God's like that. So the moment I acknowledged it, it was forgiven. Simeon and Levi had a whole life to deal with it. Levi did, Simeon didn't. We have choices every day to live by that I'm going to overcome it. I'm getting up every day with a mission to be a conqueror. There's something inside every man that's not. Women are made different. I guess y'all know that, don't you? Anyway, they are made different. You are a warrior. You're made to be a warrior. You're made to fight. You are. We just got to control that. I don't mean you go out and fight somebody, big boy. But we're warriors, and we have to tame that thing. We have to keep it under control, because first thing we want to do is, you know, we want to, I'll punch you, man. I'll punch you. And I'll tell you about Will and I's golf experience the other day, and we were hitting up on people a couple of times, and the anger that we saw exuded toward us. But anybody else, I don't know what I would have done if a man said to me what he said. He was ugly. Ooh, he was ugly. He said words like a bunch of times. They were ugly words. Ugly. I mean, ugly. And what Will did at the end? He went up to him, and the man still just, and Will reaches out and takes his hand and says, I'm sorry, man. I am sorry. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. I got in the car with Will, and I told him to come back. I said, that old man, a little fat and flubby to be yelling at you like that. I'm still stirring up a little bit. A little fat and flubby. Be yelling at you that way. Those little things. Father, we lay it down at the altar. We're not going to let what's crouching at the door control us. We're going to let what's standing at the door control us. We're going to look at the one who's knocking at the door. And he'll only come in if you open up and let him in. He's the comforter. He's the blessed one who wants to bless our life and not curse our life. He wants our life to be whole, to be prosperous, to be happy. And so we open the door right now to the one who's knocking and say, come on in, heal this, take care of this. I decide today to be the conqueror. I'm going to overcome this. And I thank you, Father, that you give us the power of your Holy Spirit, the amazing grace of God to overcome everything and anything that comes our way. We thank you in Jesus' name. everybody said amen. God bless you.
One of the reasons I didn't get angry is because I'd hit the golf ball the farthest I've ever hit it before in my life. I was just excited. As our ushers are preparing to receive our morning's tithes and offerings and alms, thank you for your faithfulness, for giving of your time here, those that are serving in different areas, for giving of your talents, those that are singing and giving, for those, there's so many different areas. Many of you give online, but each week we pass the offering bucket so that you can put your connection card in there. And if you're still giving by check or using the envelope, whatever is best for you, we want you to receive the blessings of God. And your faithfulness allows you, it postures you, puts you in a position to be able to receive the blessings of God. And it's awesome. It's incredible. I think we're just about ready there. Well, we're going to pray and we're going to bless the offering, and then you're going to stand. Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we get to come to church. We get, Father, Lord, to bring our tithes, our offerings, our alms, our to serve, our first fruits. And that, Father, Lord, when we are faithful and consistent in doing that, that you are faithful and consistent to bring about those blessings. I thank you for that in Jesus' name.
I just want to take a couple of seconds. This crossed my mind before service, and it's on me now, and I just want to be obedient, I think, and share this. You know, 30 years, this September will be 30 years here, and normally any year that goes by, I'd nominate my earthly dad and my spiritual dad as Father of the Year, but I think it's safe to say that you know, you've heard his name, Mike Thompson, and he's on my mind this morning. And if I can put about 6 or 8 years into about 5 seconds, he honored his marriage and took care of his wife as she deteriorated. And in the process of that, he loved his son and did everything he could to take care of his son physically and make sure he was healthy. He comforted his daughter through a very serious emotional time and a loss for her in her life. And he did it all while suffering physically himself. And I think if there's a dad of the year, he's it. So today, as this day goes by and you celebrate and you honor fathers, when Mike Thompson crosses your mind, and he will, just take a few seconds and say, Father, I bless Mike today with health. Father, I bless Mike today with joy. Father, I bless Mike today with peace. Father, I bless Mike today with energy. That's you sending good vibes. You are spirit, and you're reaching out spiritually in that moment. Just a few seconds to honor someone who has honored others.
Let's stand and worship.
My sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope with no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested, my life began. Ash was redeemed, only beauty remained. My orphan heart was given a name. My morning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested, my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over. Thank you.
chains, I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was a ransom he faithfully bore. He canceled my debt and he called me his friend. When death was arrested, my life began. Oh, your grace, so free, washes over. Darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost. But then Jesus arose with our freedom in air. That's when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace, so free, washes over.
Have a great day. Happy Father's Day.